Do you believe in karma? I mean, what do you define karma? Regardless of how you see and think what it is, we all have a definition of what karma is, whether we believe it or not. And in this episode, we're going to talk about the 12 laws of karma. If you didn't know about it, there are actually 12 laws of karma, and each of them have different ideologies. But let's go through them one by one. Let's do this. 12 laws of karma. Most people, they only understand karma through the common phrase whenever we see like a bad person, and that bad person gets what is coming to them. You know, in Tagalog, buti nga sa kanya. That's like the karma that someone receives. Whatever we call that, we'll just put it as the word karma because a lot of people don't believe in that word as well. And then sometimes I utter the words too, like, well, karma is a bitch. A very familiar phrase. But there's a lot more depth to that simple concept of you getting karma or whoever did you wrong getting karma. Specifically, there are 12 laws of karma that are worth understanding. And let me know in the comment section, each one of them, if there's something that you believe is actually true. Let's go with the most basic law of karma, which is the first one, which is the law of cause and effect. Whatever you put out, you receive back. That's how it is. You reap what you sow. It's like planting seeds. Whatever you planted, that's what will grow. It's like when you plant seeds of an apple, you're not going to expect oranges, right? You're going to expect apples. This is also called the great law. And as it is what we call the guiding law of karma and what most people think about when they think of that actual term. So that's number one, the law of cause and effect. Second law of karma is the law of creation. So life and progress requires what we call active participation. When you don't participate, you don't get anything. People who are actually actively creating for themselves opportunities and what have you, and the others around them are most likely to receive something in return of equal. It also aligns with a golden rule of mine as well, which is create value, therefore you receive value. So you create something of value, therefore you receive something of value. Anything that I put out, for example, on my social media, it's not just there to help people because I'm creating things so that people will consume it, and in return, someone that actually notices it might actually benefit from it. And for me, that's an equal return. So number two, the law of creation. Moving on to the third law of karma, which is the law of humility. So the acceptance of what we call the current state is the first necessary step to progress, growth, and change. So those are three important things. You want to develop an understanding and acceptance of where you are currently, what you control, and whatever it is that you cannot control. It's an understanding and acceptance of where you actually are right now, what you control, and what you cannot control. Let me know three things that are in your control, that are not in your control, and where you currently stand, right? So number three, the law of humility. Moving on to the fourth law of karma, which is the law of growth. Whatever shift is in our internal reality that comes through progress, growth, and change, it creates what we call a shift in our external reality. So whatever we change inside will be changed also outside. We are only controlling our own daily actions, not those of our external actors in our lives. What that means is that whatever we control inside will come out towards the outside. It's not the other way around. It's like you never change whoever is in the surrounding so that you can change inside. It doesn't work that way. Focus internally to see progress that you want externally. Does that make sense? Let me know. Moving on to the fifth law of karma, which is the law of responsibility. You want to take personal responsibility for your entire life. Your life is entirely in your hands, not someone else's. If your life is entirely in someone else's lives, you are a slave of that person. Look inward, never outward. We are all responsible for how we respond to every circumstance and every situation that we encounter in our lives. That should be empowering and not frightening. It shouldn't scare you. It should be an empowering thing because everything now that you think is in your control. So no one can take that away from you. Whatever your thoughts are, cannot change. Whatever your thoughts are, cannot be changed by anyone. Does that make sense? So that's number five, the law of responsibility. Moving on to the sixth law of karma, which is the law of connection. Everything in your life is connected in some way, shape, or form. All of your actions from the past whatever years have an impact on your current time or your present. And all of your actions in the present will impact your future. Like the Stoic mindset that you cannot change the past, and you cannot predict the future. But what you can control right now is what you do at this very moment. So that's number six, the law of connection. Seventh law of karma is the law of focus. And the mind is only capable of deeply focusing at one thing at a time. The mind is not capable of doing 2, 3, 4, 5 things all at the same time at 100%. It's impossible. Always seek to focus on one single point as much as you can. When in doubt, make that focus a positive one. Multitasking, I learned, is impossible. If you are a person that multitasks or a jack of all trades, most likely that person is not great at anything at all. You're just gonna be average at one thing. But if you have focus on a single point of emphasis, then you can be a master of one. You can be great at one thing only and be average at all the rest. And that's perfectly fine. People look out for specialists all the time. And they are the ones with the highest value in this world. Law number eight when it comes to karma is the law of giving and hospitality. We all have thoughts about giving and being hospitable as a person, especially us Filipinos. When you are called on to give, give generously and without any reservation. If we have good fortune, we must walk the walk and give selflessly to those that may not. One of the things I learned growing up, because to be honest, I'm a very selfish person when I was in my 20s. There was one person that said, you know, you're a dangerous person when you become rich because all you think about is yourself. And that hit me. And I asked one person who gives so much of himself, and I asked him, why do you give so much of yourself? And his answer is simple. I give not because I can. I give because I know how it feels when I had none. And those words actually hit me a lot. And it changed my perception of giving. As just as simple as, you know, giving tips and such. Before, I would be so stingy at giving tips to a server. Now, you know, it's become a norm that I have to give at least 10% of how much I spent, for example, in a restaurant to whoever served us, if it was good service. I know like in other countries, it's customary to give tips, but in other countries, like in Japan, you're not supposed to give tips. But in the US, certain percentage, 12, 18, 24%. But you know, here in the Philippines, it's much, much different. But now I believe that, you know, if someone gives you good service, you're supposed to give something in return as well. That someone that's hospitable to you should receive something from you as well as a sort of gift. And for me, that's, you know, a classic example of the law of giving and hospitality. Number eight. Law number nine when it comes to karma is the law of here and now. You can't live if you are constantly thinking or complaining or ranting about your past or worrying about whatever the future holds for you. You want to be present in every single moment as much as possible and hyper-focus on the daily actions that will contribute to your positive future. It's like this. You have an exam 5 days from now. Do you study now until the day before the exam, or do you study just on the night of the exam? And now, I don't know how good you are when it comes to analyzing or memorizing things, but me as a crammer, when I was still studying, it didn't work out as well, right? But I know everyone that did really well in school studied when it mattered as early on, which is the current moment. If you knew that you studied for something, for an exam, and you prepared for it really well, would you even worry about the possible results of it if you were prepared? Of course not. That's the law of here and now. The law of karma number 10 talks about the law of change. History will always repeat itself for anyone. So history will always repeat itself unless and until you make a change to whatever actions you're doing. If you're repeating the same thing over and over again and you don't get the results that you want, chances are you're not gonna get different results. It's like when you're training for basketball, if you keep on practicing your right hand dribble over and over again, you don't expect to have your left hand dribble improve. Change the inputs that you have to change whatever outputs that you may want to have. Does that make sense? Let me know in the comment section an example of changing something based out of your input that can change the output for you. Moving on to the second to the last law of karma, which is the law of patience and reward. Always be patient with results. Don't ask for instant results or instant gratification. Show up consistently with energy and what we call enthusiasm, and good things will always come to you in another way. And it's hard to beat that person who just keeps on showing up. And I had that mindset growing up. In school, I wasn't the most intelligent student in my class. One thing I can prove to you is that when I was in grade school, I only missed 4 days of school. And I have my class record to show that for the days that I was absent. So I remember even if I was extremely sick, I would still go up and show up for school. school because it's hard to put down a person that keeps on showing up. And one thing that my teachers knew and saw with me is that even if, you know, this kid is not feeling well, he's still there. He's not making an excuse. He's there, he's present, and he's doing his best to be available. There's a saying that you can't put a good man down. And that's one thing I learned from my father is that even if you're not the smartest student in your class, as long as you're always there, you're present, you'll never be late. Law of karma number 11, the law of patience and reward. And lastly, the last law of karma, which is the law of significance and inspiration. We are all significant in this world. However you think that you're not important, you're not significant in this world, to someone, you are. Never let anyone tell you otherwise, that you are not significant or not important. You matter, no matter what anyone tells you that you ain't shit. We all have the power to contribute something to the world and to society for a positive future. Don't forget that. And so those are the 12 laws of karma.